session, and we have a, hearing for Baron Denman, and that will be led by Mr. Neal. We'll start the hearing now.
Are you Mr. Denman?
Yes, sir.
Would you step up to the podium, please? Good morning, sir.
How you doing?
Would you state your name and your ABC number?
Baron Alvin Denman, Jr., 079362.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this is a board hearing for you to go from home arrest to regular parole after discharge. Okay, let me introduce the board members. We have three member panel today. To my far right is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and the center chair and the acting chairman today is the Honorable Rittenhouse, and my name is Dave Neal. I'm going to go over some information on this. My opinion is that when you were here the last time, you convinced the board that you were ready to go on home arrest. And since you convinced us that that was the thing, what we're here today for is to discuss your, how you get on home arrest rather than rehash everything in detail about what happened initially. You know, I mean, it's a time saver, but it's also, we went over that 6 months ago. And you were convinced that you were worthy of going out of home arrest. So now you got to convince us that you've been successful enough to move on to the next step. So we'll concentrate on it. I'm going to give a little bit of information. And if I say something to you that is wrong, let me know and I'll correct it. But if, so you are, how old are you now, sir?
55.
Okay. So you were serving a life sentence for conspiracy to commit first degree murder. And that began December 17th, 1992. You were granted home arrest on January 29th, 2018, but you weren't released until, was it March 7th of 2018?
Yes, sir.
And today's hearing is for a regular parole or absolute discharge. And you were certified for this hearing on January 1st, 2018. Like I said, I'm not going to rehash the years of offense and all that, and a little before. So, what we really need to do now is determine whether we need a right of parole, or and after the amount of time you spent in prison, a little bit of culture shock when you got out, wasn't it, sir?
Yes, sir.
So, tell us a little bit about what your accomplishments in the last 4 months.
Well, the first time when you guys granted me my release, I went back to the yard, back to the prison yard, and all of the people there was waiting to see what the results were. And 99% of the people of all cultures were very happy for me that I made the board. And prior to making the board, I had already started my rehabilitation years ago. You know, I changed my life for the better. I lost a lot of people in my family, and I just lost my mom a month before I made the board, so she didn't get a chance to see me make it, but she now knows that I'm pretty. I've been going to, since I've been out, my family and I had a program, a plan, and that was for me to hit the ground running in the right way and not the wrong way. So the first thing that we did was we decided to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And those was the NA and AA meetings. I wanted to get out and continue to address the issue that I had that put me in prison 25 years ago. I started doing that like 6 years ago, going to NA and AA, being a peer facilitator, a mentor, changing my life, signing a program to come over to the Santa Rita program, the integrated program, because I made a decision, which I told you guys before. I've confronted a lot of my friends in prison about why should I go over there to live with other people that's not my race. And I made a statement to all of the brothers, black, that how can I go and confront this man right here, which is my brother-in-law, who's given me a place to stay, but I refuse to sign over to live with possibly someone that his race. How can I sit at his table when he welcomed me into his home and look at him and say to myself, I refuse to live with you when I was in prison, but it's okay for me to live with you when I'm out of prison. So I confronted a lot of people with that, and they understood exactly what I meant. And when I signed, a lot of people signed with me. And I came out of here, going to the program. I've been a guest speaker for a lot of the NAA meetings. They've been asking me to come to conventions. They've been asking me to go to a lot of other meetings. I got a guest speaking meeting on the 10th of July, which is within the itinerary range, because some of them is in Prescott, some of them is here, and I can't go there based on the situation I'm in. So I'm limited to what I do, but I go practically every single day. You know, we had decided that we was going to get acclimated into society after being locked up for so many years. So when the chairman before us had told me that we don't want you to drive, I didn't understand it at first. I said, why wouldn't she want me to drive? But when I got out here, I understood what she meant. You know, the world has really changed, you know, and I've just been taking everything one day at a time. And as soon as I got out, I went and got everything that my parole officer requested of me, from birth certificates to whatever he asked of me. I went and done that. He asked me to join the CAC program. I've been in that for like the last 15 sessions. He was even willing to write a letter for me on my behalf, you know, that I've been doing everything that requested of me. I've had 5 UAs taken since I've been out. 1 was taken yesterday. I'm not even worried about that as well, you know. So I've just been just doing what I need to do, staying focused. And we decided that let's get acclimated into the world before we start looking for a job, because it didn't make sense to me or my family to go into a job and not even used to being out in this world. I want to get acclimated first. So being acclimated first was taking me to different places. The first thing I went to was Fry's. My sister took me to Fry's, you know, just to see how I would react. Then she took me to Fry's again to see how I would react. Then she stepped it up and took me to Walmart. And I'm looking at her and I'm going, she says, how you doing? I'm doing good. Then the next step, she took me to Costco. So I just been just really, you know, just getting myself, you know, in order and doing things that I'm supposed to do, you know, and just staying focused. And now I have to apply for a job. I've got a few interviews coming up. I explained to the people my situation. I really explained to them that I just got out doing 25 to life. Case is one of the places that called me in for an interview a couple of weeks ago, and I explained to them that I have a hearing on the 18th, but before I even do that, let me explain to you my situation. I just got out of prison doing 25 to life. I'm on house arrest. Right now, my car, I'm limited right now because my sister has been taking me everywhere. I'm not able to drive right now. And she said, what do you mean you're not able to drive? I said, right now I'm limited to driving, and the job that they was going to give me is from 2 to 11. It's a second shift job. And I didn't want to be selfish when my sister's been taking me everywhere all this time that I've been out. Every NA meeting, every counselor's meeting, wherever, she has taken me. So now for me to say, okay, I got this job at 2 to 11, I can get there, can you take me at 2? And then at 11 o'clock, can you get up and come pick me up? You know, so I told her that after the 18th, once I see what happened, if I'm able to drive or whatever, then I will call her back. So she's waiting on me to call her today. So that's a potential job. Terrells, Crossroads, Peoria, and I'm gonna get ready to put my suit and tie on to walk into DOC and to ask for a job. Because someone told me this, if you want us out here to hire you, then why don't the LC hire you? And I talked to Mr. Don Garrett when I was in Santa Rita, and he's a supervisor parole in Tucson. And he had shared with me, because I told him my passion was to be able to help the homeless, help recovering addicts and alcoholics, and that's something I want to do to give back. And one of my friends in Tucson worked for HOPE, and now he works for the Department of Correction as a mentor. So Mr. Brett told me once I get out and get something under my feet, give him a call and he would try to assist me in the door to being a mentor, to be able to help people like myself who got out after doing so many years. Because I alone knows how it is after doing 25 years to come out of this world. Thank God I got all my family. you know, because well, that's your family, man. I mean, it's pretty rough, you know, and I'm blessed to be in the situation I'm in with my family. So that's pretty much what I'm doing.
For my mind with blank. It's very commendable what you want to do with DOC, and even if you don't go work for DOC, it seems like you're going to work with people out there too, and it looks like you've got some representatives from one of the groups out there that does a really good job of helping people like you transition back into the community.
Yes, sir.
You're right about your family. You're not bad. You're living with your family, so you're supporting them, and they've thrown up the support, you know, I mean, room and board, so to speak, until you get a job and can afford to pay for your own. But as a family, they're pretty smart figuring out that you need a little bit of time to get acclimated. Less chance you're going to stumble and fall if you can get used to what's going on out there, trying to get, you know, because the value is different, the cars are different, the people are different. Costco, I was going to ask you, that's the question I was going to ask you. When you got into Costco, do you have any money left?
You know, should I share that with you? One of the things I didn't know is when I got out, I applied for all access, including the food stamps and things. And I really always give the cards to my sister because I wanted to contribute to the household and the front yard, the backyard, everything. I keep everything up to par so when my brother-in-law comes home, all he has to do is go play tennis or kick back. So we went to Costco's, and I asked my sister, she's loading her a lot of things up in the basket, and I asked my sister, I say, you're going to use the card to that I, so I can buy some groceries for the house? And she looked at me real funny. She said, don't worry about it, we do it at Fry's. You know, Costco is different. And I said, what do you mean by it's different? She said, just come on, let's go. So we go, she got a basket full of things. I didn't know that all these things come in bulk and this and that, and I'm only getting $192 worth of food stamps a month. So we go online, and I go in my pocket and pull out my wallet like I'm really finna do something. And when I got over to the other end and it added up and I seen $600-some, I put it back in my pocket. I said, yeah, I do understand. Go ahead and so from that moment on, when we go to Costco, I never said anything. Matter of fact, I just turned the whole car and just do what she did. But to answer your question to Costco, the first time, to be honest with you, because I have to be honest with myself, it kind of caught me from the back, you know, because people just walking around free and I don't even know since you just going to get 26 years speaking to you. I guess you treat people the way you want to be treated. And it reminds me of when I came, when the very first day I got out, and it really helped me. Two officers really helped me. And they don't really know how much they helped me. If I can remember them, I would really thank them, because when I got out of prison that day, we drove from Tucson and got off of Chandler for a stop. Now, I've been locked up so long that when they opened up the door, for me, I stayed in like as I was still handcuffed. And the officer looked at me and said, Dinley, come on. I said, what do you mean? You're free. You can do these things now. So I get out, and they let me go in front of them, and I'm looking at them around and saying, like, who did you do? So when I go into the quick stop or whatever it was, I look around, I see all these things, and we go to the restroom, and I'm looking around like, okay, when I left, it was totally different. So I'm looking at other people and how they make things work, and I would go out, and they look at me and say, you see, the only people who knew you was locked up was us two and yourself. The other people never paid you no attention. So they prepared me when I got, first time I seen my family, when I got out, the paranoia and all that had left me. But it can be overwhelming. So when I went into Costco, it was truly awakening. So I know why she took me through baby steps, first the fries, the Walmart, and then Costco's. And now I can pretty much just go anywhere and don't have no, it's like it's nothing to it no more. Like I go to my NA meetings and AA meetings and I share my story. And so many people want me to continue to share my story and to be a guest speaker at so many places. And I never knew that being locked up so long can tell so many lies, because when I speak, so many younger children, young adults come up to me and say, hey man, I don't know if you know this, but you really touched me based on what you said and how you got out of prison and you're not resentful and not angry. Because one of the things I wanted to say to myself was, I'm not going to come out of prison being angry or resentful to anyone, because I take full responsibility of my actions, which I shared with you guys when you guys granted me my home arrest. You know, I take full responsibility of my actions, and I don't deny anything. I just want to look forward and never look back. And thus far, that's what I've been doing.
So do you have a cell phone?
I'm still trying to learn how to do that. My son over here, and they really have a kick out of that, because they gave me a little flip phone. And I'm looking at them with all the technology, and they give me a flip phone. So I just push the button, and he said, Dad, all you got to do is the green and red, that's it. And then a month later, he went and bought me something a little bit more technology, and I'm still trying to figure it out, but it's getting better. I finally learned how to text and do some things like that. And
don't worry, I'm illiterate on the phone.
Right, okay, so I'm getting there.
Well, that's good. Yeah, well, that's, I mean, I've never been in a situation, okay, but I can just imagine, and I've been around a while, and I've seen it just, the spiral keeps getting tighter and faster as they develop things. So 25 years, when you get pulled out of this society for 25 years, wow, you know, there's so many things that are so much different. You know, like flip phone, somebody sees you with a flip phone, they're going, who are you? You know, where did you come from? And all that. Well, that's good. So where was the place that you said that you had a potential job, but you're waiting to see the outcome today?
I always talk everything over with my...
He's going to wait.
I know, I'm sharing with him. I always talk everything over with my sister. It's, the first one is Cass. That's the homeless shelter.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about it, but when I put in my resume and my application, the lady called me, and she really wants to, you know, potentially give me the job. And I know it's a rough area, you know, I know it can be hectic, but I don't think it's nothing more hectic than where I come from. You know, and I know how to deal with people of all cultures and diversities. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to take that job if offered to me, but I do want to go interview for the job just for the experience.
That was good. I wish I could get this, my younger kids.
So that's one. And then I operated a job for the city of Peoria. They sent me an application, they sent me a text letting me know that they have my application, and now I'm going into the next phase. And Crossroads, all of the jobs I applied for has been jobs to be able to give back. You know, my passion to be able to give back. I haven't really actually applied for any job other than Peoria. That's, you know, that don't, where you can give back and help recovering addicts or alcoholics or the homeless. And that's pretty much where my passion is at, to be able to, you know, I always look at it like this here, like in the class last night, CHC, I had to do a program and it ended like this here. What do you want people to remember you by? And I said, a person that got out of prison that made a difference. So if I can save one person from going during 25 years, I made a difference. So.
I like that attitude. It's, a lot of people want to get back, and they have grandiose ideas about thousands of people will be able to help, and it's great. But if you focus on the idea that if you can help one person, you'll help a whole lot more than that one person.
Yes, sir.
But you're right. You keep one person from committing the crime. He didn't save one person. for that person, you say a whole gallery full of people, you know. So if you can stop one young person from committing that crime to go to prison, you're very successful because you've helped a whole lot of people because he didn't do what he was going to do.
Yes, sir.
You see if there are any questions from my fellow board members?
Yes, sir. So what are your plans? I mean, what are you beyond? I mean, you want to get a job now, and that makes sense. I mean, I think your approach was good to kind of get used to what's first, and then start looking for a job. But say 5 years from now, where do you see yourself?
I see myself being a truly big-time guest speaker.
Okay.
You know, I see myself, everybody in life has a gift, you just have to discover your gift. It took me 25 years to discover my gift. And I didn't notice that until I started going to all the meetings and that when people come to me saying that I've touched them and how I release my conversation to them based on where my pain and what I've gone through and my passion. And I just feel like I just want to be some type of guest speaker to be able to talk to people and share with them where I come, where I've been. So that is my plans in the future.
You have a very approachable, you're a good speaker. I mean, you're articulate and you certainly look relaxed. I don't know, I can't imagine in a home rest hearing that you're very relaxed, but you know, but you have a good manner, you know, as far as speaking, and I think you'd be very successful at that. So that's a good thing. Would you have your own house? Are you thinking or
yes,
just
moving forward
eventually?
Although I'm more than welcome.
Because your family, I know.
Be with my sister and my brother-in-law. You know, they always say to me, you know what, I'm going to stay here as long as you want. As long as you're pushing forward and doing what you need to do, don't worry about nothing because you're more than welcome in here. And my brother always talk about, he hate that he have relieved me from all of his yard duties. So he may not want me to go there.
It might be a second job.
Yeah, true. So we're on a timetable. It's not a timetable to be rushed out because we have discussed that once I get a job that all I have to do is just save my money and just continue to do things that I do. And then when I'm ready to get my place, then they'd be more than willing to help me. I'll move on to the next phase of my life, you know. So I feel the timetable will probably be between 6 months and 12 months.
Okay.
You know, that I have my own place.
Okay. That sounds like you have a good relationship with your son.
Yeah, that's my son back there.
Oh, there's another one. Okay, there
that's
you are.
That's my son and my sisters and my brother-in-law. Yeah,
okay.
And my niece.
So, okay.
We all have a good relationship.
You have a good family, does things together. And
we have a good relationship,
okay.
And they've been there for me.
All right. You know? Yeah, definitely so.
Yeah.
Definitely so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my son makes the statement talking about I can't drive. I never could drive.
Okay. You really could.
You know, I don't know where to get that myth from, but, you know.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Mm-hmm. I'm good. I kind of know this family too, so.
Before we move on, I want to make a suggestion for you.
Yes, sir.
Comment. When you know, you know, maybe 6 months out that you're planning on moving, lean him away from that. So stop doing this and stop doing that. Stop a little bit at a time so that when you leave, he's doing it all anyway. You won't notice.
Well, Mr. Johnson made a suggestion that didn't cross my mind. That's a second job. And if I leave, I can just have him hire me to do his job.
There you go.
Right now it's free, you know. Just showing him that.
It's for room and board.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it'd be a lot less if you move out and come back.
It's just my way of showing them my appreciation of giving me a place to live. You know, that's the least I can do, you know.
Well, it's good to see the family support them in more than just, you know, holding out their hand for you. You know, you've got good communication back and forth. They seem like they know that overall it is up to you. I mean, it's your decision, you have to do it, but they're there to support you, and a lot of families don't really totally understand that they can't make your decisions for you. But it seems like you have a really, really good relationship, so you're making community decisions that are about you. So
yes, sir.
It's really good. Do you have any supporters that would like to speak?
I'm going to be really brief.
Yeah, you can have a seat.
You can just sit right there.
I'm Tiffany. I'm Dan's niece. I'm his oldest niece.
You got to say your full name.
Say your full name.
Excuse me, Tiffany Newman. I'm Dan's oldest niece. I work in behavior health. And when I go to visit him, first thing I notice is he never gives excuses as to what happened or why it happened. He takes responsibility, and he doesn't make the blame other people. With what I do, I notice that people blame everything else and never take responsibility. And I always tell people the first step to getting better and moving forward is to realize that the decisions you make are yours. And his positivity and him also not taking the blame, I mean, or taking the blame for everything that has happened and not being negative is a positive role model in all the other kids that are in our family and beyond. So I just want to say that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Any questions? No? Okay.
Anybody else like to speak?
Here's the person.
Hello.
Hello, and what's your name, please?
My name's Terrell Dillon.
Yes, sir.
My name is Oldest Son. First of all, I want to thank you guys for allowing me to come home the last time. He's been a major impact on me and my brother's lives from prison. And I know a lot of parents or fathers in prison can't say that. He's impacted my brother, my sister. My sister's not here right now. But he's been an impact when we were on the way, probably somewhere we had no business. He changed it all the way around. So like, I'm just asking you kind of like to just grant him his freedom. We have a few challenges. I'm like, he think he can be efficient. So, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to be able to do other recreational things with it that he's limited to right now. You know what I mean? As you can see, this is not a front. This is who he is. He's always who he's always been. And I think that he deserves a second chance.
Thank you. Any questions?
Keep it brief, I know. My name is Tia White, and I'm the brother-in-law and staying with me, and White and I am. I was kind of apprehensive about the first one he came. I wasn't real sure because it's 25 years, and you know, it's been very successful. Besides doing my yard, maybe if you do release, maybe you could write something in there. I don't know. But it's when he's really, it's not completely free, because he's added a few pounds, so, you know, but anyway, it's worked out really well. He's worked real hard, and wakes up about 5:00 every morning, lets the dogs out, yard is tip shape, and he's got a good attitude, and it's been much better than I thought it would possibly be. So I think, I think he is deserving release or whatever it's called. But anyway, and I also want to make a statement. After that last case, I said, I'm never going to say in my head, I have a hard job again. You know, so that's all I have to say.
Good morning. My name is Diane White. I'm the elder sister of Mr. Denman, who was released into our home. And it was really difficult. I stand here before you and I look like this because when he first came out, everything was so different. He didn't know how to turn on the light. Phone sessions were different. And the most important thing that he first wanted to do was take a 2.5-hour bath. that's what he did. But we took this very serious. We started, everybody's, oh, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. No. We're going to crawl first. We're going to start crawling, and then when you start to walk, we're going to wall walk. We're going to do everything like you were just born, because you were. You were thrown back out into society, and everything is totally different. So that's how we've been going along, very slowly. He wants to do, wants to do, wants to do, but of course he is limited, which I thank you for the limitations, because that gave him a time and I to understand, to show him what this world is really about, and to do it slowly. Most families, they throw him out there in the jungle. But see, we wanted to keep him close, because he's already been in the jungle. We wanted him free. So we are working hard, and we are working slow. And I truly think, because he's lived with me, and I understand him, I whether you want to take the monitor off or release him freely, he will be the man you see in front of you. Humble and ready to go out into society. Thank you very much.
I have a question on the lighter side. When you take him to Costco, does he partake of the free samples?
At first he didn't, but the last time he did.
I was going to say, that could be where those extra pounds came from.
No, when he came, he gained 20 pounds. I mean, my brother didn't eat in the system. He bought his food from the commissary. He didn't eat in the kitchen, but he was pretty thin. But he's no longer thin. He gained 20 pounds.
He appreciates good cooking.
Oh, my husband.
whoever's cooking it, it's much better than the app.
I appreciate my own cooking too.
Thank you very much.
Any other supporters like to speak? Okay, well, with that, are one of you his PO?
Venture. I've had him the first month, Steve had him the middle, and I had him the last couple of weeks.
Would one of you like to come up and do one of your wonderful presentations?
I guess it's the morning, good morning. I am Steve Butcher, Community Correction Officer, the previous supervising officer for Mr. Denman. I supervised him the longest since he's been out. As Mr. Burke has indicated, that Mr. Burke started supervising him. He took some leave from work. I supervised him, and then Mr. Burke supervising him again. There have been zero violations from Mr. Denman. He has one of the most solid support systems I've seen from anyone out there. Good head on his shoulders, always positive attitude. With many things when we look for parole officers, we gotta be honest, you know, when they see us, they're always putting their best foot forward. We're looking for great flags. I see zero with him. So he is the type of people we like to supervise, because he's making our job easy. And he's being completely earnest in his efforts to be abiding by what he needs to abide by.
Any questions? That makes one of your illustrious presentations very matter of fact and everything. Well, I like the way you put that too. It's kind of like to supervise, because it makes your life easier. And that's what we're looking for, is that kind of rehabilitation.
He's definitely one of those type of people who, you put the faith in these people when you grant them home arrest, and he's definitely not the end of that.
Do you think he's ready to drive?
I can't give any recommendations. He is as good as anyone.
Oh, yeah, I know, that's true.
It's up to you guys. I don't know how to do it, so.
Sure. I just kind of want to give him a vote of confidence in his head, because
he has a vehicle ready to go. There are no concerns. The only concern is the condition that is stipulated by the board. It's pretty much a standard condition, and they cannot home arrest, they cannot operate a vehicle. So should it be given parole officer discretion, then absolutely, we'll let him go.
Okay. No questions? Thank you.
Well,
would you like to say any words, or did he?
He covered up just about everything.
Yeah, he does a wonderful job of that. Okay, well, it looks like we're nearing the end of your hearing, sir. Step back up to the podium. you know, you were here for the last one, so the procedure is we'll go into discussion and talk about it and make a decision. Before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement if you'd like. You don't have to, but... Okay. Well, you've done quite, you know, done quite a bit of elaboration and made, you know, pretty good statements that we've gone through, so you can have a seat there if you want, and we'll go into discussion to make a determination. Okay, the floor is now in discussion. This is one of those uplifting cases. I'm very impressed with Mr. Denman. And a lot of it has to do with the support that he has a very positive attitude. He takes total ownership of himself and what he's done, including being smart enough not to use his card at Costco. So it's good. And he had to make that. That was a snap decision to do that. He had to make it. And did a good job. I really like what I hear from the parole staff, because we don't often get that much enthusiasm about an inmate as they're showing this one. I, you know, based on everything I got here, I would be in favor of going ahead and granting a regular parole to Mr. Denman and take that restriction off and give him the opportunity to move forward. John, I want to listen to discussion from me and my fellow board members.
I agree.
I agree with you. I just want to make a note for the record that we do have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated January 25th of this year, so that would have been earlier, but that letter requests no consideration. But I agree with you. I think he's got great family support. I mean, my gosh, and good plans, and I think he should be granted.
You know, normally we look at grant the home arrest, and sometimes it's 3 or 4 months before you get out. In this case, it's only been out there 4 months, and you need to look for 6 months.
Yeah.
But I believe he's done such a stellar job in that short 4 months. He's worthy of moving on. Okay, well, based on that, I'm going to make a motion to grant Mr. Denman a regular parole and deny after discharge and remove the home arrest.
And I will second.
Agreed.
All right, so motion by myself, seconded by Zirkhouse, agreed by Mr. Johnson. Well, sir, would you like to step up to the plate? I just want to back. Okay, so, sir, as you've heard, the board has voted to grant you regular parole, and which means take you off the home arrest. And when you ever say deny home arrest, that just puts you into the tight category of regular parole and deny after discharge. So that means. Now, there's an administrative part of this, so it's, you know, not going to be immediately right now. You have to wait until you get with the parole staff and they take that ankle bracelet off. Until that's come back to the block, you have to continue exactly like you've been going. And once it comes off, they'll explain to you what you're doing. You're probably a different PO at that time out of because you won't have the ankle monitor. And you'd be able to, I don't think you'd have any problem getting along with your new PO and understanding the rules and regulations, but this will give you, open up your life and your actually help your family out a lot too, because you know, even besides the driving part of it, is that you won't be so restricted, so it won't restrict them so much. And so it's going to be good for all of you. And of course, their attitude is just that as long as you're moving forward and move along, that's what's good for them. So I think it's a win-win situation.
So do I have to wait before I'm or able to drive, or how that works?
I would wait till to even start driving. I mean, if you got a car, you need it ready, stuff like that. And you could probably start your driver license process and everything. Okay, well, then it's just a matter of, I mean, it takes a little bit of administrative time for it to get back, make the appointments, go get the bracelet off and all that. So I guess just ask your PO if they're, you know, if it's all right, you know, with them, because at this point in time, it's up to the discretion of PO. And we do that because they see you more in the real world, you know, real life, and have a better consideration. But you heard the statement this morning, so. But ask them if, I mean, as far as we're concerned, you know, as soon as the PO says it's okay, it's okay. And if they say you can do it now and it's 2 weeks before you get the bracelet off, there's no problem with it. Okay? But don't get over anxious. Keep taking the baby steps. You see a lot of people, they try too hard and they trip. And so we understand you're going to get out there, you're doing a really good job, but be careful. Don't go too far, too fast, because even though you're unemployed, you still have to report to the parole officer, and we hope to not see you in here again. Not that we don't like you, but, you know, we hope not see you until it's time for maybe an absolute discharge, which, you know, that down the road ways. Unlike this, you know, you're not going to, oh, every 6 months, you've got to go back and talk to him. So,
So you still on home arrest status until the documentation and everything has been completed, right? And that's all done through your parole officer. So don't go home and figure you're off home arrest because the board granted you, so that you still have to give it to parole officer and go through the process before. We've just made a determination to remove you, but there's still, you know, paperwork, just like when you were incarcerated, we granted you parole, but it takes a while for the paperwork and everything to go through. So, you know, it's coming, but, you know, don't go home and jump in the car and start driving, because you're still on the restrictions of your itinerary until that's all done and removed by the parole officer. So
they will contact me and let me know.
Yeah, they.
You can ask them.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll work with you on getting that done. Just make sure you get that done. I know, you know, before you do it, and go show your son who's the better fisherman. But you still have some time to get that done.
Yeah.
All right. Let me read. There's some just a couple of conditions. That you have to follow all of the rules of DOC. And you still have the rules to follow in the field. But they'll give you all that and probably sign new conditions of release and all that stuff. And I wrote under a guided motor vehicle at the appeal discretion. And that's generally the way the release is. It's their discretion, not ours. But we may have to have it a little tight before 6 months. Let's just do it. So, okay, well, that will end this hearing. We thank you very much, and thank your family for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in, sir.
Thank you.
You've got a great support system.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Turn off.
Thank you, guys.